Morning, everyone. Today is January 23rd, 2019. This is the Senate Finance and Policy Transportation Committee. We've got two bills on the docket this morning. The first is Senate File Number 75, and the second bill is Senate File Number 91. To just give folks kind of a heads up as to what we're going to do is there are a number of people that want to come in and testify on Senate File Number 75 and 91. That would essentially be family members. And I've got seven on the list. It's my understanding that the various family members have been sort of prompted that we have to pay attention to the clock. I'm going to divide the two bills 45 minutes apiece so that we can get through both bills. I would also indicate to the family members that we have a rule in the Senate that prohibits signage and pictures and things of that of that nature. But we're going to make an exception in this case. I know that you have photographs of family members, and so you are at liberty to display them. I certainly hope we don't have any graphic pictures, but just pictures of your family member. We're going to make an exception in this hearing to that Senate rule for you, so you feel free to bring that picture up or hold it up during the course of the hearing is fine. Then after the family members testify, we're going to have Senator Osmick present his bill. And I am hoping that by the time we are done, it will take about 45 minutes. We will then pull up the various groups who are in favor of Senate File Number 91. And that's the hands-free bill. After they have testified, then I will go to the testifying table, turn the gavel over to Senator Jasinski, and I will present Senate File 91. Members, for your information, both of these bills are scheduled or would head to the Senate Judiciary Committee from this committee, just so that you know. With that, the list of testifiers we could have come up first would be Mr. Tom Goetz, John Dudley, and Danielle Wishard Taber. If you would mind coming up to the testifying table, please. And while they are coming up, then the following, as you are done testifying, if you would then leave the testifying table and make room for the next testifier and just catch your name so you kind of have an idea as to when to come up. It would be Carol Cafferty, Bill Kelly, Greg LaValle, and Karen Altman in those orders. In each case, each testifier would have to identify themselves for the record. You will note that there is a sheet on the table in front of you. We would ask that you sign in, give your information so that we can line you up with the tape with the person who has testified. With that, if you would please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Tom Goetz. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators, for allowing me to speak on this bill. I'm in support of actually both bills, Senate File 75 and Senate File 91. I'm the father of Megan Goetz. You can see a picture of her here. Megan was killed by someone who admitted to driving distracted on a Wicker app, looking at his phone in Stillwater, Minnesota, on February 29th, 2016, Leap Day. Megan was a spunky kid and had a strong personality. She was a soccer player, a cheerleader in high school, a daughter, a sister, and a mother. She had a three-year-old daughter, my granddaughter, who has to grow up now without a mama because of a distracted driver. She was also pregnant at the time of the crash, and I lost a grandson, a 2-year-old grandson that I should be holding right now instead of talking in front of you. The other driver was charged and pled guilty to a gross misdemeanor, reckless driving. He was sentenced to 90 days in jail with work or school release, 90 days to be determined, probable electronic home monitoring, 2 years probation, 20 hours of presenting distracted driving to schools, a $500 fine. He had to attend one MAD impact panel, no alcohol or drugs for 2 years, and remain law-abiding. To my family, that sentence was a slap in the face. He should have gotten a felony, but put away for a long time. And I'll admit, no penalty would have brought my Megan back. But you know, if we have harsher penalties out there, I believe that that's a deterrent, just like our drunk driving laws are. You know, for drunk drivers, you know, you get a big fine initially, you go to jail after a subsequent offense. That changes behavior. For me, if, for example, I'm a safety consultant. If I got a drunk driving offense, I'd lose my job. I'd probably lose my house and my wife. So I don't do it. It's a deterrent that changes behavior. Just like employer drug testing. A lot of times when companies implement those types of policies, they don't even get the drug users to apply at that organization. It's a deterrent. I'll say one thing in regards to the hands-free bill. Many of us have held the phones in our hands for a long time. It pains me to tell you that I used to do it all the time, even as a safety consultant. But I've only received one important call in my lifetime. I've had a cell phone for over 20 years. One important call, and that was that call from Regents Hospital in St. Paul, Minnesota, saying that your daughter's been in a crash, you need to get down here immediately. And you know what? I was sitting in my living room when I got that call. All the other calls can wait. Please support Senate Bills SF 75 and 91. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Dudley. Please state your name and proceed with your testimony. And if Ms. Cafferty would then please come to the testifying table.
My name is John Dudley, and this is my son, Andrew. Thank you. And he was 18, 5 weeks from graduating from high school in St. Louis Park. When he was leaving Wednesday night youth group at church, he was on his 10-speed bicycle, when a lady was going east on Excelsior Boulevard, turned right to go south to Wooddale Church on Shady Oak Road to pick up her kids. She's talking on the phone. She hit Andrew, and then she ran over him. I got the call, and within just a few short minutes, we were there, and he was dead before we got there. Now, my background is in manufacturing, and in between manufacturing positions, I've worked in retail, and I've driven school bus. And I've given PowerPoint presentations on distracted driving for the Minnesotans for Safe Driving. And I talk about my position as a driver and truck driver's vision, too. It says I can see all the women putting on their makeup, guys shaving and doing all kinds of strange, weird things. And even on the way here today, there's a lady next to me in the car, and she's talking like this while driving. And I said, you know, put the phone down, you know, just with the hand signal. And she just looked at me and just kept on going. It's just really frustrating that she's putting my life and everybody else's life within her small area on the freeway at danger. And I've seen a lot of strange things happen over the years. And I've driven school bus on and off since 1976, and I've seen a lot of things happen from the growth of population in the Twin Cities to the arrogant because people are important and they have to get to where they're going. And it's not that important. If you plan your time correctly, you can sit back and relax and get to where you're going safely. And I'm just here to emphasize the point to please pass this bill, because we need a hands-free bill. Even though the automakers are putting in more whiz-bang gizmos into all the cars, that create more, even more distracted driving. And I wish they would just, as soon as they put the car in gear, lock those things up so they can't do anything. That's what I like to see, but that probably won't happen. But like I say, at the end of my PowerPoint presentation with the Minnesotans for Safe Driving, it was for new student drivers and people who are court ordered to be there. And I would ask them to, you know, you go to those who had parents who are there, you go home, you hug your kids often, and you tell them how much you love them, because I can't do that with my Andrew anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dudley, for your testimony. Next up would be Danielle Wishard Tudor. And if Mr. Kelly would please come to the testifying table. Ms. Wishard Tudor.
Thank you very much for allowing me to testify. Each time we get in the car, we have to make the conscious choice to be a responsible driver by not taking our eyes off the road and just driving. Every day, though, drivers partake in a game of chances. We all do this. We are all susceptible to this. We take chances when we look away from the road and get distracted. How long can we look away at something before we focus our attention back on the road? Statistical research now says, you've probably heard this many times now, 1 in 4 crashes and 1 in 5 fatalities involve distracted driving. These chances we take are exacerbated by the fact that we live in a world now where we grow up being connected to our mobile devices. They are an addiction that distracts us in all components of our lives, including while driving. For this reason, there has been a push around the world to ban handheld cell phone use while operating a motor vehicle. Many other countries already have this exact law in existence. If you were to do a 10-minute Google, you will see the entire European Union, minus 5 countries, which are getting a lot of in trouble for not stepping it up, and including almost all of Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, the list goes on. There's countries in Africa who are enacting this same law, okay? And here in America, in the United States of America, 16 states, the District of Columbia, Guam, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands all have handheld cell phone use laws. These are not new revolutionary laws. It might feel like it, but they're not. Take a look and Google the world. This is where we're going. Minnesota is way behind on the forefront of how to keep drivers safe on our roads. We all take the chance of being distracted, and the consequences are the gravest. People's lives can be sacrificed, as you can see by our victims' families. I know this personally because a distracted driver weaved all the way into my brother's lane and collided with him at 56 miles per hour without even braking because he was so distracted. My brother died in his own lane, choosing to be a responsible driver. The other driver took that chance, that game people take, and when he chose to be irresponsible and get distracted and look away from the road, he lost that game he played. But really, do you know who the real loser was in that game? He was the loser. He lost his entire existence and his life over someone looking away. My brother paid for that game he played. We've got to stop curbing people from doing this. Let's lessen the distractions on our roads and role model in Minnesota the emphasis that when you get in a car, your responsibility is to just drive, just like all the other countries around the world are implementing in 16 other states in the USA, including the District of Columbia. Let's foster safer roads where we will not tolerate drivers who allow themselves to get distracted. My brother's life was worth more than getting distracted for 30 seconds. His life was worth more than that. Let's change the laws and save lives. Thank you very much for your time.
Ms. Wishard Tudor, thank you very much for your testimony. Next up would be Ms. Cafferty, and if Mr. Lavelli would please come and have a seat at the testifying table. Ms. Cafferty.
My name is Carol Cafferty. Chairperson Newman and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to express my support for Senate File 75 and Senate File 91. My name, again, is Carol Cafferty, and I live in Southwest Minneapolis, and I'm here representing myself. I have been bike commuting for over 15 years now. From my home in Minneapolis, I have commuted to Eagan, Minnetonka, Eden Prairie, and now downtown St. Paul. I also use my bike for running many other errands, such as grocery shopping, going to the doctor, or going out for dinner. I am a year-round biker. I am extremely grateful for the biking infrastructure that has been built out in Minneapolis over the last 10 to 15 years, which has made it safer for bicyclists like myself to get around. However, the city of Minneapolis does not have the power to pass laws to keep distracted drivers in check, which has become a major concern of mine over the last 5 to 10 years, and the reason I am here this morning. Every time I am out biking, I encounter distracted drivers. As a biker, I am constantly scanning my surroundings so that I'm aware of everything. I observe so many drivers holding their phone up to their ear like this and talking away, even though there are hands-free options now. In my opinion, when a driver holds a phone in their ear, it limits their ability to fully scan their surroundings and see me. I also observe many drivers looking down at their phone, texting, reading, or doing who knows what, which completely limits their ability to scan their surroundings and see me. I often wonder when I see drivers either talking on their phone or looking down at it, what is so urgent? What is so critical that it's worth jeopardizing the safety of themselves or others? Can it wait until they are at their destination? How will the driver feel if they hit their neighbor's kid running across the street? Again, what is so urgent? These distracted drivers make me extremely nervous. I don't have confidence that they see me. And based on their actions, they don't see me. I see drivers pulling over the crosswalk before stopping at a light or stop sign. I see drivers treating a right turn on red like a yield sign rather than a stop sign, and again pulling over the crosswalk before noticing I am there and ready to cross with the signal, walk signal. I typically shout a quick heads up to get their attention. Or in the winter, when most of my riding is in the dark, I shine my helmet-mounted light toward their car to get their attention. According to the Office of Traffic Safety, a division of the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, over the last 5 years, 2013 to 17 in Minnesota,
Excuse me, Ms. Cafferty, I'm going to ask you to please wrap up as soon as you can because we do have to keep moving. Thank you.
As the numbers I wanted to show, the distracted driving is becoming as prevalent as driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol. However, the current social acceptance and the penalties for these behaviors are vastly different. That is why I'm very excited and encouraged by what I see in these two Senate bills. Specifically, what I like is that texting becomes a crime rather than a nominal fee. Cell phone use must be hands-free. Distracted driving will be included in driver's education. Additional definitions are included in the bill. With the stiffer penalties being proposed in these bills, as well as more education about distracted driver, I am hopeful it won't take 30 years to see a reduction in deaths and injuries like it did for drunk driving. The proposed changes would go a long way to send a strong statement that distracted driving is not acceptable. I encourage you to support these bills. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cafferty. I apologize for interrupting you, but there are some family members that I really do want to get to. So, but thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Kelly is up, and if I think Ms. Altman, if you would please come to the testifying table. Mr. Kelly.
Hello. My name is Bill Kelly. I live in Lino Lakes, and I'm a citizen advocate with the Minnesota Brain Injury Alliance. I have a traumatic brain injury. I have a tube in my head. And before my accident, I was the youngest person in the state of Minnesota to pass my national boards. Anyway, I owned some dental laboratories in Wadena, Northfield, Granite Falls, and West St. Paul. And I had a home, and I was raising my son. And my son was 17 years old when I had my accident. He couldn't take care of me. I was blind. My retinas got detached, and I couldn't walk. A spine injury and a traumatic brain injury. So I sent him to Calgary, Alberta, to live with his mother's sister. My accident was in 2008. I just got done seeing a patient, and I was on my way back to the lab, came off the freeway, went up to a red light behind a dump truck, and a car smashed into me 60 miles an hour. The police said he never touched his brakes. And he was also drunk, and he was distracted by his cell phone. I woke up a month or so later after my accident, and I felt like my life was over. I couldn't walk or see. It's really scary being blind. And I'm so grateful that I can see now. I was in the hospital, had to send my son to live with his aunt. I'm sorry, I used to be a little bit better at this stuff, but thank goodness I live in Minnesota. I really feel that because we have programs to help people like me recover. I started to learn how to walk again, and then I could see again. They took the bandages off, and I could see, but my retinas, I had to move my head like this. So I wouldn't, if I moved real fast, it would trail. And anyway, now I can walk and I can see, and I live in a mobile home with my two dogs. I have two Basset Hounds, and they're my companion dogs. I come to the Capitol to advocate for legislation for hands-free cell phone bill, which helps prevent brain injuries like mine from happening in the first place. The drunk driver who hit me was distracted by his phone, and blah, blah, blah. Please support Senate File 91 to make our roads safer and help prevent brain injuries from happening in the first place. That's all.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kelly, for coming and telling us your story. We appreciate it very much. You will notice that the members sitting up here are listening very hard to this testimony.
Yeah, I know. I know you guys are the best.
Next, I'm sorry?
You guys are the cream of the crop. You're the best.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, we have Mr. LaValle. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Greg LaValle from Otsego, Minnesota. Chair Newman, committee members, thank you for the opportunity to speak today in favor of SF 91, the hands-free bill. This is a picture of my beautiful son, Philip, who was killed by a distracted driver in 2013. My wife, Amy, is holding his picture. Philip was 19, an honor student studying engineering at South Dakota State. He was a Division I runner with hopes of running in the Olympics. So he was doing all the right things in life. To say we were proud of him would be a bit of an understatement. More important than that, Philip was a good person. I got a note recently from one of his competitors in high school. It said that Philip used to ask him to run warm-ups and cool-downs before and after races. And Philip was pretty good, so it meant a lot to this young man from this other town. That was the kind of classy young man my son was. August 8th, 2013, my son was out for a run. He was running about 50 miles a week, training for his next season. A driver crossed over the center line through opposing traffic and hit Philip on the far side of the road, killing him instantly. He had hopes of running in the Olympics. All those hopes and dreams were dashed in that moment. His right to life was taken away. His right to life was taken away by that privilege of someone else. I want to go off script a second. I received an email from a friend this morning reporting an article that was in the Monticello Times posted this last Thursday, January 19th. It's titled, Close Calls on Way to In Swimming Meet. All right, so this was posted in the Monticello Times. It says, the Magic Boys swimming team hadn't even traveled a mile as they headed up to Chicago Lakes last Thursday when something happened that could have kept the meet from happening. We were just leaving, this is in quotes, we were just leaving the school here and some lady ran a red light, said head coach Dirk Westphier. She was looking at her phone. She didn't stop and zipped right across and through the intersection. Our driver saved the day. He hit the brakes so quick, even with us going 40 to 45 miles an hour, and was just ready. If it happens, we probably wouldn't have had the meet, and the lady would have been seriously hurt. So I'll end there. I'm not sure what would have happened to the swimmers on the bus as well. But I think we can all speak for times in recent years where we've had close calls with distracted drivers. The statistics that we hear are the ones that occur because we were prepared and we avoid it. There's so many times. I drive from Monticello to Bloomington every day for work, and I can tell you it happens regularly because of my alertness where I'm able to avoid a crash because of a distracted driver. So, Senators, please, I support hands-free because it's a preventative measure that will make the texting law enforceable. And because data in other states really shows that it works, it will save lives. Please pass this bill into law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. LaValle. Next up, we have Ms. Altman. Please state your name for the record, Ms. Altman, and proceed.
My name is Karen Altman.
Get nice and close to the mic so we can hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
My name is Karen Altman. Our daughter, Katie Berkey, was killed on September 6th. 2017 during rush hour traffic on 169 in New Hope. She was driving home from work. It was obviously slowing traffic due to rush hour. When she was stopped during that time frame, a semi-truck who was speeding and grossly overweight plowed into the back of her going 63 miles per hour. She didn't stand a chance. Whatever his distraction was, he was very uncooperative in terms of dealing with the state patrol and throughout the time frame that we went to court throughout this process. He was sentenced to 90 days in the workhouse and is currently in the workhouse as we speak. No time would be enough for this man who took her life. Katie was a very charismatic, loving, family-orientated, athletic, beautiful young woman. She had so much to give the world. She had just graduated from the University of Minnesota in May. She worked full-time. She had her own place. She had her own animals. She was a very responsible person. There's just no reason why somebody's distraction should have been able to take her life away from her. There's nothing that's more important when you're driving, particularly given the weight of the vehicles these days and the technology that we're allowed to have with us. There's nothing that should distract us from paying attention to the roads. Nothing is so important that would trump the importance of someone's life. People just need to put their phones down. People need to pay attention. People need to make sure that the safety of those around them and the safety of themselves is first and foremost so that these tragedies don't have to happen. Minnesota is far behind in its laws with respect to these kinds of penalties and consequences for distracted driving. We support both these bills, and we truly hope that you take all of the testimony that you've heard today under sincere advisement, because it can affect anybody. If it can affect us, it can affect you. And we hope that you truly work hard to get some changes passed. Thank you.
Mr. and Mrs. Altman, thank you very much for coming forward. As Senator Osmick is approaching the testifying table, I'd just like to indicate on behalf of the entire Transportation Committee, you will notice that all of these members have been very attentive and are sincerely appreciative of the fact that you took the time to come forward today and testify, and we certainly will take into account and consideration everything that you have said. Again, thank you very much. Senator Osmick, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am presenting Senate File 75. The stories you just heard are just the tip of the iceberg. I've received a number of emails over the last 3 months, and I know you probably have too. This is a growing problem, and as I was, I watch more when I'm driving now to watch drivers around me. And today, I'm driving in off of 394 into the Lowry Hill Tunnel, and somebody behind me was driving almost 55 right at the entry point of the tunnel itself today. And she was looking down at her phone. It's time for us to get some teeth into the law. It's time for us as a state to say, you need to put the phone down. So Senate File 75, I think, serves the citizens of Minnesota well. The first section of the bill, and I'll try to go through it briefly so I can take questions. First section of the bill identifies the penalties for texting while driving. Right now in Minnesota, texting while driving is a $50 fine. That's a tank of gas for many of us. That's not getting people's attention. That I changed that in this bill in this way. It changes the penalties from $50 per offense to $150 on the first offense, $250 on the second offense, and $500 on the third and subsequent offenses, and that's on lines 1.22 through 24. But also I put in here, after the third offense, that you're going to take your cell phone from you. Now, for some people, that's going to be pretty pricey because some phones that are made by certain companies can approach $1,000 now. That's a pretty stiff penalty. But if you've been caught by law enforcement three times or more doing what we have told you is illegal, it's time for you to pay a penalty. I could not go higher than $500 because it would have triggered other legal considerations. So I went as far as I could in that manner. The next section of the bill deals with distracted driving and the penalties. And as you've heard from some of the families that came up here, some people are getting 5 days in jail or maybe a couple of months in jail for, in essence, destroying another family. And I think it's just deplorable that such light penalties can be given for such important impacts, not just to the person involved, whether it just be bodily injury, but or killing them, taking their ultimate civil rights away from them, but also the impact it has on the family for a lifetime. You just heard that today. So what it does is this bill then adds in distracted driving while not using a hands-free setting on electronic devices. It puts this into the DWI laws. So if you kill someone and you've been found to be using a non-hands-free setting, or in other words, putting it to your ear, you're going to be treated like a drunk driver, and the penalties will be enforced on you. And on the third section of the bill, or the third item on my bill, specifically goes into, and I was sort of surprised to find out, that we really don't have required statutory language that tells the department, or the commissioner of Department of, I think it's Department of Public Safety, that they have to include distracted driving in driver's ed courses. Our new drivers, I think, understand the problem with distracted driving, and it is in the driver's ed book, but this specifically makes sure it's in our driver's ed programs. So remember, that's the bill. It does not go to a ban. Senator Newman will be on up with his bill, but I think it takes the right steps. It provides law enforcement a stronger statutory position to even just advertise. If you do this, you can go to jail for a long time. I was confronted by someone who said, well, I don't understand, why don't you just have people pay restitution? You know, you hit somebody, you kill somebody, why don't you just have that person pay restitution for an X period of time? My answer to that is, what's the value of a life? Are we going to start going down that path and valuing how much some of these families were impacted and how much we're going to put a price tag on that? It's ridiculous. We need to take an action, and this is the type of action I think we should do. I would like to have gone further. I've said very vocally that I would like to go after people who are digging for the last Cheeto at the bottom of the bag and hitting people, or yelling at the kids in the back seat. And I know there's parents up here. That can be just as bad as looking at a cell phone, but I can't get over that bridge because you have to prove intent. And I'm not on the judiciary, and I'm thankful for that every day that I don't have to go to judiciary. But in the same respect, we have to do something that gets people's attention. Changing the penalties, changing the fines certainly does that. I also was working in the direction of allowing law enforcement, if there's an accident, to be able to capture a cell phone, put it inside of an electronic bag that doesn't allow transmissions in and out for a short period of time, 48 hours or 72 hours, so that they can get probable cause to hold it, because that's evidence. And if they could dispose of the evidence, it can cover up a crime. I haven't been able to crack that nut yet, but that is something that still is on my plate of things to do. But what I wanted to do is get this in front of us first, get this through this session, and then we can take next steps as we can. So, members, I'm open to any questions you might have.
Thank you, Senator Osmick. Questions by any members? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Osmick, for your bill. I just have a couple questions. There's no doubt that seeing the testifiers here today has a huge impact, and it makes me think of more being able to see that. My intention is to take a link of the testimony and encourage everybody who's I have connections with to watch this, because I think seeing and hearing from them is always has a tremendous value and an impact. My question, I notice on the requiring driver education programs offered and so on, to consider the possibility of a part of that, a video of survivors that would be accomplished so that the young people or anybody can see the consequences to their parents or to survivors or those who lived through it, such as we had with the physician as well, consider possibility of adding that. And then the other question is in regards to warrants. Some of these situations and the things that you mentioned there as well, especially when you have drunkenness at the same time, does anything in your bill include the ability or in situations like that to get warrants on a more immediate basis from law enforcement?
Senator Osmick.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kiffmeyer, this bill does not specifically address that warrant. That is something that law enforcement can do at the time, but they do have to have probable cause. And again, I try to avoid going down the judiciary path. That is something that I think is very important, because you can take a hammer. If you get into an accident and you know you've violated the law that we have that we would be proposing, it may be in your best interest to take out a hammer and break the phone. They should be seized. But as I said in my presentation, it's very difficult to, example, if you have four people in the car, you may have four devices in the car. How do we determine which one to take? Because those are not automatically, you don't know if that's the owner of the driver of the car or the owner of the car or people in the back seat or if they traded cell phones. There's a lot of problems that I have with that. But right now, law enforcement has been able to impound in certain circumstances, impound those devices. But I think being able to hold them for a short period of time, such as 48 hours, is not too much of an inconvenience for people to make sure that that law enforcement could get that warrant to seize it as evidence. Unfortunately, I can't go in that direction at this point in time. As far as your first question goes with the commissioner, I would hope that the commissioner would include that. I'm not sure I want to be so prescriptive as to tell them what the commissioner can and cannot do, but I would assume that they would have some videos, such as the videos here today, to provide to drivers, the new drivers, so that they understand the dangers.
Thank you.
Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Osmick. Just looking at the language, can you elaborate on what the negligent used under the bill in the negligent manners is the way it's described in much of the new language? Can you describe that? And what I want to debate it here on the record is when someone's using their phone for GPS or texting literally vocally, so you can talk to your phone, can you elaborate of what is included in a negligent manner, what's not? Thank you.
Senator Osmick.
Mr. Chair, Senator Franzen.
Senator Osmick, please, and in answering, please keep your eye on the clock.
I can't see the clock from behind here. Okay, I'll try to be brief. If you are using, and these are all replicated through section 5, if you are using a phone and you're talking to it and it's hands-free, you would not be subject to any of these additions. In a negligent manner is a broad term saying that you were using a phone and not paying attention to what you're doing in driving. I think it falls in place with a negligent manner sections or verbiage that is in the rest of the DWI statute. So I think that, I mean, certainly we could amend it depending on if the State Patrol needs or the law enforcement needs some additional tweaking. But I was trying to stick with negligent to make it fit into the same section as DWI so they would flow together, hence the same penalties.
Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question, since it sounds like it's not going to judiciary.
So, oh, yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay. So then
unfortunately.
They will tackle that then.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Franzen. Senator Sanjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, this can be brief. Senator Osmick, do you define in your bill distracted driving?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sanjum, no, I do not define it because I believe it's already part of some statutory language. I don't go into that. Okay. I just add it that this cell phone use is part of distracted driving and can be a distraction.
Sure.
I don't go into changing the definitions of distraction.
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Osmick, somewhere Senator in Sanjum. Some other statute, there may be that definition.
Yes.
Senator Osmick.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sanjum, I do believe that is correct. I could certainly have counsel check on that. I think the answer is yes.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to thank you, Senator Osmick, for bringing this forward. This is very highly needed definition. I don't want to say the word publicity, but I will. Publicity for the situation here of distracted driving and handheld cell phone use. And I appreciate you bringing this to the forefront. I do have some problems with the bill as you have it, and it's probably because of my involvement in it for so many years. And one of the things that we will have to probably look at for any kind of enhanced penalty is the issuing of warrants or the probable cause to get warrants for blood alcohol pulls, for viewing the cell phone, and also maybe even drug evaluation. Because what I'm finding and what I'm hearing is that sometimes we don't have a consistent behavior of the investigating officers. And we're going to continue to look at that. And what that does is it prohibits charging a higher-level offense because you have to prove it. And, in fact, if you're talking about felony level, you have to prove it to 12 jurors. And to answer one of the questions that was brought up, we do have a gross misdemeanor, reckless driving. I passed that bill in 2015. And what that does require, and thanks to Senator Newman for helping me understand just what's required in that legally, we did get the wording right to say that it does require some ignorance or some ignoring of something that is a safety issue. One of the other things that I did want to ask about, though, is that you're prescribing covering of distracted driving in the curriculum of for instance, driver's courses. And one that you didn't mention, and it's kind of something that I experience, the 55 Alive classes that we all take to get a discount on our insurance. And I've had to take some of those because you take them every 5 years after you turn 55. And I just had one about 3 months ago. And the instructor spent a significant amount of time on distracted driving, specifically cell phone, and without having any kind of mandate. And I'm suspecting that even our conversation here is going to bring more attention to the curriculum that driver's training has, and I know some of the families have been involved in that, going around to high schools and other training to give their perspectives on it. So I don't know how much prescription you want to have on that and whether it's something that you're going to try to hit 100% at the time, but I do think that they will react, and they will react to this law being passed. So, again, thank you for passing, for bringing this up. I don't support everything in it, but I am committed to getting this passed this year, and I will vote for your bill.
Thank you, Senator Carlson. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Osbeck, I just want to check one thing, and it might be what Senator Franzen was getting to on the neglect manner. When I do hands-free text, I think the problem is not doing the text, but then reading and proofreading that text to make sure it says what I want it to say. To me, that's distracted driving when I'm looking and trying to read something that I shouldn't be. Would that be covered in a neglect manner?
Senator Osmond.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hall, because of the openness of the language saying in a neglectful manner, first off, you're violating the texting while driving laws. So you've already gone into neglect because you're violating that law. And I think if you're reading any, if you're reading a text and editing a text, you're going to be subject to the $150, $250, $500 fine that I'm proposing in here. But I also believe that, and law enforcement can correct me, you would be driving in a neglectful manner because your eyes are not on the road. So I think it covers it, and I'm willing to, when we get to the judiciary, to deal with additional, more precise language if necessary.
And that's another thing I was a little concerned about.
Senator, is this a judiciary issue?
I do sit on the judiciary committee, and there's a lot of slams going on here.
Thank you. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I basically want to come off in support of both bills. In a couple of minutes, I'll be chairing the meeting, so I can't talk too much. But, again, thank you to the families for came forward. A couple of years ago, I wasn't so sure I wanted to vote for this. I think a lot of work has been done, and I've definitely made my decision based on folks like yourself who I've heard stories. Federated Insurance is a large company in my district, and this is their number one goal, is to push this. I've talked to Colonel Langer about the deaths. We've had a lot of great discussions. I've talked with Senator Senjum and most members on this committee. I think it is time. And if we save one life, we're doing our job. Just one life. It's a start. I know sometimes I talk to some people and they're against it. But we have to do something about this. And I think this is a start. Is it in perfect form now? Maybe not. Will it be when it's done with judiciary? Probably. So these things will be worked out. But I am in full support. I think this is something we have to do. We had a tragic death on Highway 14 this summer. I know Senator Senjum and myself went to the wake and the funeral of the Harberts family that lost a mother and a child. And it was very tragic. So if we can save one life by enacting this new law, it will be phenomenal. So thank you, and thank you for the support, and thank you again for all the family members who came and testified today.
Senator Dibble, last word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to make a statement, not ask a question, which was to also thank Senator Osmond for bringing this bill forward. I support it. I think it's been represented as a bill in lieu of or in place of your bill, Mr. Chair, Senate File 91. I don't see it that way. I see elements of this as complementary to the bill that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, which is the outright ban on using a cell phone while driving, which I also support. And I know that Senator Osmond had a slightly different philosophy about that, that this might be the way to persuade people to not use their cell phones by increasing the consequence for so doing, particularly when it results in a tragedy. But I think we need to also just be straightforward and say, don't do it. It's illegal. Certainly, the increasing the fines for texting is excellent, including discussion of this in driver education programs, and absolutely increasing the penalties and the definitions is also an excellent package of ideas. So I would love to see the two of you talk and maybe find a meeting of the minds and some merger of these ideas as these bills move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Senator Osmick, do you have a motion?
I would move Senate File 75 be recommended to approve by this body and sent to the judiciary.
Everyone understand the motion? Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Osmick's motion to send this matter, recommended to pass, send it to judiciary, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does pass. Senator Osmick, you are on your way to judiciary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to also recognize in GOP research, Linnea Michelson. She was very instrumental in helping me craft through this. We spent a number of months going back and forth to get the language right. So I just want to make sure I recognize her. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Next up is Senate File number 91. And there are some group testifiers that I'm going to have come forward. The first group would be Paul Austin from the Minnesota Safety Council, Mel Simon, the Minnesota Trucking Association, and Bob Johnson from the Insurance Federation of Minnesota. Gentlemen, welcome to the committee. Unlike the family members, I am going to hold you to your time limits. Only because it's not that I'm not interested, but we are squeezed a bit for time. We have got the three of you down for a total of 3 minutes. Who wants to go first? Mr. Austin, state your name in full, and please proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Austin. I'm the president of the Minnesota Safety Council. The Minnesota Safety Council was actually formed by the legislature in 1928 to work on traffic safety issues as the state highway system was built out. I'm going to be very short in my comments. We are here to support the hands-free bill, Senate File 91. We believe that hands-free works. There are 17 jurisdictions, 16 states and D.C. that have adopted hands-free. In 13 of those 16 states, they have seen about a 15% decrease in fatalities since the passage of hands-free. If we get that same kind of a decrease in Minnesota, that equates to about 55 lives a year that we would save. We believe that's a great step forward. There's an A3 amendment that the author is going to offer later. We think that's it helps and improves the bill. We think there might be some technical issues that we'll want to continue to discuss as that moves forward. And I would like to reiterate the point that hands-free is about prevention, and we think that's a very important piece of the puzzle. Deterrence alone will not work, as anybody who's ever worked in public safety will tell you. So with that, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Simon.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mel Simon. I'm the chairman of the Minnesota Trucking Association. The MTA is a statewide safety organization representing 650 trucking companies and their allied vendors. And I'm speaking in support of Senate File 91 as well. We are one of 20 statewide business organizations, from truckers to grocers to the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, that have adopted policies supporting hands-free phone legislation. You should have a complete list in front of you. The business community is united in the belief that it is time to pass hands-free cell phone legislation in Minnesota. Every day, Minnesota businesses are putting their employees and contractors on roadways filled with distracted drivers, and the results are alarming. The insurance industry reports that the only category of work-related injuries increasing today is motor vehicle accidents. Insurance data also shows that business and personal auto premiums are going up. The common factor, distracted driving and cell phone use. I'm also co-owner of Steyr Transportation, a 60-truck company hauling manufactured goods across 48 states. My drivers already operate in a one-touch, hands-free mode, which is required under federal trucking regulations. This has not impacted our ability to serve our customers. But what my professional drivers see other drivers doing every day is quite alarming. Rather than focusing on the driving task, we see people looking at their devices, even watching videos. Professional truck drivers say, put down the phone and focus on the road. The business community looks forward to passing this legislation in 2019 and reducing distracted driving for our employees and all Minnesota motorists. Thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Bob Johnson, I'm the president of the Insurance Federation of Minnesota. I'll just say very shortly, our industry strongly supports Senate File 91, your bill. We support higher penalties. We met with Senator Osmick. We're kind of working out what the final details on that. But really, here's the bottom line. Distracted driving is affecting everybody in this room. If you drive a car and you buy insurance, if you run a business and buy insurance, you're paying more because of distracted driving. We've got a lot of statistics and data. We don't have time to present all that here for you. I'm happy to follow up with committee members and present it. The data is clear. We're an industry that lives on data. We have to have data for everything we do. The data is clear. Again, some of it was presented. There's more to hear that distracted driving is having that negative effect on consumers. Senate File 91 is a preventative bill. It's going to do that. We think penalties are also part of the deterrence, so we should pass that. I'll just leave you with three statistics, and I'll be done. It comes from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, that over the period of 2014 to 2018, there's a 57% increase in manipulating a cell phone. So there's not just talking on a phone. There's secondary behaviors that drivers get involved with. That's a significant increase. Secondly, that if you're manipulating a cell phone in a car and you're driving, it's a 66% higher, the risk factor is 66% higher that you'll be in a fatal car crash. It's a significant number. And then lastly, it's a federated number. Senator Jasinski mentioned federated, who is a big writer of commercial coverages in this state, insuring thousands of small businesses. They're a member of mine, so I'll give a little plug. But their president has testified recently 50% of all of their auto claims in 2017, 50 was involved or caused by distracted driving. Those are numbers that are staggeringly high. There aren't many that hit that. So, Mr. Chairman, we thank you for your bill and Senator Osmick and look forward to working with the legislature and passing these measures in 2019. Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming forward. Colonel Langer, you are up next. Welcome to the committee, Colonel Langer. If you would state your name and who you represent and proceed with your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Matt Langer. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the chief of the Minnesota State Patrol. I'm here to testify briefly, as I have in the past, before this committee and others in support of hands-free legislation, specifically as it relates to Senate File 91. The State Patrol is confronted every single day with exactly what you've heard today from both victims, witnesses, and drivers alike, that the distracted driving is a huge problem on our roads. In fact, in 2018, there were about 9,500 citations written in Minnesota for texting while driving. 49% of those were written by state troopers, so I speak from authority as the agency that's dealing with this all of the time. We have great partners with the Chiefs Association and the Minnesota Sheriff's Association. My understanding is they have letters of support drafted or on your desk already. So from the law enforcement community, this hands-free legislation is helpful. The reason it's helpful is because there's a preventative value to changing the behavior of Minnesotans away from their addiction or love affair with looking at their phone while they're driving. It does not hinder or eliminate the ability for you to use your phone if it's in an audio feature, audio-only mode. We get questions frequently, well, this means I can't text. You can text, but it has to be in a one-touch and a hands-free mode. Can I listen to a podcast? You can listen to a podcast if it's in one-touch and hands-free mode. So it's not a prohibition. That's not an endorsement for listening to podcasts or talking on the phone while driving, but it's a question that we regularly get. The other thing that this bill does, to be clear, is it helps law enforcement enforce the law that's already on the books that bans texting while driving. So what happens now frequently is troopers will witness someone manipulating their phone, looking at their phone. They'll stop that vehicle. Many Minnesotans are very honest people, and they admit, yeah, I messed up, apologize, I know better. Some are not as honest, and sometimes the discussion gets into the nuances of what is legal or not legal and oftentimes goes right into, no, I wasn't texting, I was looking at my banking information. Or I wasn't texting, I was actually looking for a phone number, looking for contact on my phone. And that quickly moves into, is that legal or not legal? Well, if you're not paying attention to the road, it doesn't matter if it's banking, texting, or looking for a contact. The conduct is equally as dangerous to the rest of us on the road. This bill clarifies that and just simply says you can almost do anything you want on your phone. Pay attention to driving, keep the phone out of your hands, and that'll be a great benefit to law enforcement. Lastly, the State Patrol writes a lot of tickets, and that's a big part of our job. But an enormous and equal part of our job is education. So the goal of this is not for the State Patrol to write more tickets. The goal of this is to prevent crashes. And my hope would be that it would change behavior to the degree that the number of citations that are written actually decreases, not increases. But make no mistake about it, we'll be there to enforce it, and we'll be there to educate along with everyone else you've heard from today.
Thank you, Colonel Langer. We have three more testifiers. Sherry Munson from the Citizens for Safe Work Zones, Vance Struenberg, Blue Earth County Commissioner, and Dorian Grilly from the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota. If you would please come forward. I see all we have is Ms. Munson. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name in full and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. My name is Sherry Munson, and I'm representing the Citizens for Safe Work Zones today. Citizens for Safe Work Zones is a coalition.
Ms. Munson, I'm going to interrupt you for just a moment. The other two testifiers have arrived at the table. It's a total of 3 minutes. Please proceed.
The coalition represents families of individuals who work in and were killed in work zones, as well as their employers and unions that represent them and want to be able to see all of their workers go home safely. In recent years, there were the deaths of Vern Hedquist, Craig Carlson, Ron Rakowski, all killed while working on these roadways, as well as a severely injured flagger, Maria Sota. These were all results of distracted driving. We support the bill that is before you today, Senate File 91, believing it is long overdue. We think there is more that also needs to be done to increase enforcement on our roadways. And then I would also add that we are supportive of the provision that is included in Senate File 75 on educating our drivers, the curriculum that has been proposed. With that, I will end and allow the others to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Munson. Mr. Stuenberg.
Yes. Chair Newman, members of the committee, my name is Vance Stuenberg. I'm a Blue Earth County Commissioner. I'm also chair of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee for the Association of Minnesota Counties, representing the 87 counties of the state of Minnesota. On behalf of AMC, I would like to offer our support for Senate File 91. At our annual conference this last December, we adopted a platform position to put forward jointly by our Transportation and Public Safety Committees in support of legislation that would require hands-free cell phone use while driving. As a transportation advocate, our primary concern is the safety of the traveling public. Making sure our infrastructure is safe is part of the equation, but responsible driving behavior is another aspect. Here in Minnesota, we are fortunate to have leadership from MnDOT and the Department of Public Safety through the Toward Zero Deaths program. And despite TZD's best efforts, traffic fatalities increased in 2018 over 2017, with 380 Minnesotans killed in traffic crashes and thousands injured. In fact, over the last 5 years, our state, distracted or inattentive driving was a contributing factor in 1 in 5 crashes, resulting in an average of 53 deaths and 216 serious injuries each year. Myself, as a retired law enforcement officer, I understand the need to have a law that provides the tools necessary for officers to do their jobs. Without this law, officers lack probable cause to stop a vehicle when they see a person using a cell phone. And while they may be texting...
Mr. Sternberg, I'm going to ask you to wrap up, please, because we have one more testifier.
All right. I think most of this was gone through by the chief anyway. On behalf of AMC, I want to thank Chairman Newman and also Senator Osbeck for their work on this important effort, and we are pleased to see this bipartisan bill in this session. I thank you for the opportunity to testify. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for coming in. I apologize for interrupting.
Oh, don't apologize. You got time.
We're up against the time crunch, seems like, all the time. Mr. Grilly.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dorian Grilly. I work for the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota. And needless to say, our members think that it's time to pass Senate File 91 and Senate File 75. The hands-free rule, as Colonel Langer says and has said many times, is the key to enforcement. Enhanced penalties complement this bill, but are only enforced after injury or death. The Bicycle Alliance works statewide, and we know, and I think you know, that this is not just a problem in the metro area or on our freeways. Phil Ilg was killed while biking on a county road near New Prague. Andrea Bovee was killed on a clear day on a county road in southwest Minnesota, pulling her kids in a brightly colored trailer. Leo Schneider, a cyclist from New London, was killed on a county road, all by distracted drivers. And their families certainly would like you to pass these bills. I just want to let you know, as a final, Minnesotans took about 90 million trips by bike last year and hundreds of millions of trips on foot. And I hear every day that they're afraid in many circumstances to do that because of distracted drivers. So thank you for bringing forward these bills. I hope you pass them this year.
Thank you, Mr. Grilley, and to all the testifiers. Senator Kent, question for Ms. Munyon.
And actually, Ms. Munyon, it's really more of a comment, and I'll be very brief. Senator Newman, because I know we want to get on with this. I have carried, as you know, in the past, similar but much more narrowly defined bills aimed at protecting workers in work zones. And I want to thank you for supporting this. I support this as well. Both of these bills, I think, are important steps in the right direction. I want to call attention to members the list of the hands-free supporters that we have in our packets, because it's an impressive list of a range of organizations. And at the top of that is the Associated General Contractors, who have had a say in this. My specific comment to Senator Newman and Senator Osmek as authors on this is that I had real challenges on the hands-free aspect in the Judiciary Committee, when I had this before the Judiciary Committee. And it was, I want to just be on the record as saying, this is too important. Too many lives are at risk here. We can't over-judiciary the language in here and let perfect be the enemy of good. Too many lives are at stake, and I encourage you both to work closely with the different members of that committee to make sure we can come up to some resolution that's going to be able to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kent. Next, we have Senate File 91, Senator Newman's bill, the cell phone use while driving prohibition. With that, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here to talk about Senate File number 91. Senator Kent, as a former member of the Judiciary Committee, I absolutely promise you that I will work with them in order to move this bill. My experience with the Judiciary bill is, yeah, they really pick the fly specks out of the pepper, but when they're done, it's usually a better bill. But I absolutely promise you that I will work with them. This particular bill is one that I see as proactive, and I specifically have not increased the penalties in this bill because what I'm trying to accomplish here is to get people to put their phone down. I will tell you that it really has proven to be a difficult task. I know that Senator Carlson has been working on this for years, and I sincerely appreciate his work on this. Last year, I tried to do a distracted driving bill, and I've had many senators tell me, let's do a distracted driving bill and skip just the hands-free stuff. And I will tell you that myself, both partisan and nonpartisan staff have worked on the distracted driving bill in the past, and we couldn't do it. There are too many legal ambiguities that were involved, and I simply couldn't pull it together. So this year I've taken a different tact, which is precisely, I think, what Senator Carlson was trying to do, and just go after the hands-free use of the cell phone. Because the conclusion that I came to is, while there are all kinds of distracted driving that goes on, and we know that, without question in my mind, the most egregious conduct is the use of the cell phone. So I absolutely welcome any advice, any help that anyone can give me, but I will tell you that this is about as difficult a piece of legislation as I've ever worked on. Because every time you try to answer a question, you create another problem. And I think that happens because we are dealing with multiple devices that will make phone calls, and each of those devices will do all kinds of different things. And consequently, from a legal standpoint, we're trying to make the definitions so that they are not ambiguous, and that has really proven to be difficult, to have definitions of what we are prohibiting that are not ambiguous. And believe me, your Senate staff has worked on the distracted bill last year, and they have worked hard on this bill this year. I'm about to come to an amendment that I'm going to do my very best to explain to you. It's a difficult amendment to read, but the reason is that we keep working on it and never seem to get it perfect. So sort of in a broad overview, what the bill and what the A3 amendment is going to do for you, I hope, is to encapsulate three different parts of the bill. One is definitions, one is prohibitions, and one is exceptions to the prohibitions. That is sort of the way I've now got the bill organized. And that is what the A3 amendment accomplishes. And like I said, it's a difficult amendment to read, and I apologize for that, but we simply weren't happy with the way the bill looked initially. And so we're trying to, it's essentially the same bill, we're simply trying to reorganize it. So I want to walk you through the A3 amendment first. But before I do, I want to incorporate an oral change that has been recommended to me by Senate Counsel. And if you go to, and double check me on this, Ms. Stengel, a change I want to incorporate on the A3 amendment is to delete lines 1.16 through 1.18. Ms. Stengel, do I have that correct? She's nodding her head.
Senator Newman, can you move the amendment first? What I'm hearing from staff, move the amendment first and then make the verbal amendment?
She is quite correct. The A3 amendment is an author's amendment. So I would move the A3 amendment.
Senator Newman moves the A3 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Now, Ms. Stengel, procedurally, is my incorporated change in or not? Do we change that at this point?
It wasn't, sir, Senator Newman, it wasn't technically clear in the motion, so if you could amend the motion to incorporate the verbal change.
That is my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We have a verbally amended motion on the A3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. To the amendment, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, now what we have is the A3 amendment that is in front of you, but lines 1.16 through 1.18 are deleted. And the reason for that is the access to the World Wide Web. I don't know if that's the right term or not, but it just doesn't seem to me to be appropriate to be driving down the road and accessing the web. In other words, we now cannot surf the web. That's the purpose of the incorporated change in A3. Now, as to the amendment itself, page 1, line 12, what we are doing is combining the definition. So instead of having 1, 2, and 3, we simply got one definition of a wireless communication device does not include. And the language then on A3 indicates what that language now is. If you go to line 1.14 and 1.15 of the A3 amendment, the change there is leftover language from the bill that I worked on last year that I mentioned was a distracted driving bill. and we are simply taking that language out. It's the bill that we didn't go forward with, and putting the original language back in. Then if we go down to lines 1.16, I'm sorry, line 1.22, what we are doing there is reinstating the original language from the statute rather than striking it. If we go over to page 2 of the bill, right on the top, you will see line 2.1 through 2.3, beginning with email on 2.1 through manner or images on 2.3. We are striking that language. And that language is then covered elsewhere in the bill. You'll see it under prohibitions. If you look at the A3 amendment, lines 1.8 through 1.12, that's a group change that we are making. And you will now find that language under the prohibitions portion of the statute. Line 1.13 and 1.14 of the A3 amendment is a request from the Judiciary Committee. You see, Senator Kent, I'm already cooperating with them. It's a request from the Judiciary Committee. Instead of having language that talks in terms of the uniform fine, they are simply asking we actually put the number in. That is not an increase in the penalty. It's not an increase in the penalty. We are simply making it clear in the language of the bill what that fine is. We then go down to the exceptions on the bottom of page 2 of the bill. And we are no longer utilizing paragraphs B, oops, I got lost. Okay, the changes under the exceptions of the bill now, per the A3 amendment, is we have added the language on 2.30 of the bill where it says to compose, read, send, or listen, or to initiate a command or request to access the web page. And I have a question there for Ms. Stengel. If you would help me with that particular portion of the A3 amendment.
Ms. Stengel.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Newman and members. The change that Senator Newman just described about initiating the command to the website, those were the three lines that we removed and incorporated. So that change on 116 to 118 of the A3 was removed, so that change doesn't actually happen. And then, so clause one is essentially the same there on lines 229 and 230 of the bill. And then, would you like me to continue with the rest of the exceptions?
No, then we can, Mr. Chairman, we can just move on. Then we have added to the exceptions that you can now listen to audio-based content. In the prior bill, we had to have something that was affixed to the dash or in the car. And I don't think it makes any difference if you're going to listen to a podcast or music, whether it's affixed to the car or not. It could be in your shirt pocket or it could be on the seat. So we've removed that language. And clearly you can now listen to audio-based content. And then on the top of line page 3 of the bill, we are renumbering the paragraphs. And then lines 3.5 through 3.8 of the bill have now been deleted. Now, as you can see, this is it becomes a little bit confusing, but in a nutshell, what we're doing with this bill is it is mandating that you put the phone down in order to make a phone call. That's what we're doing here. Now, there are exceptions. And remember, we've got definitions in the first part of the bill. Then we've got prohibitions. You can't do certain things, and that begins on line 2.16 of the bill. You can't do those things anymore. But then we have exceptions to those prohibitions, and those are now listed at 2.27 and through the end of the bill. So it's a reorganization of the bill a bit, but we are without question. You can listen to audio-based content. You can't look at TV or anything video. You are still allowed under this bill to use your GPS. Now, I will tell you personally, I would ban that because I don't see any difference between using your phone to look up an address or dial up the use of your phone for GPS purposes. But as soon as I go into that arena, I run into people that say, no, I don't want you to do that. And so we begin losing support. I think that if we ban the handheld use of the cell phone, we rid ourselves of the vast majority of the problem. So I'd rather take the win and leave the GPS alone. Okay? So when you're sitting there thinking, well, we should ban GPS, the reason it's not banned in here is for that reason. I'm afraid we're going to lose support of the bill. But that is, in a nutshell, that is what we are doing. And there are exceptions where you can still use your phone. You can still use a Garmin. I don't even know if they're still around anymore, but you can still use a Garmin. But what we're trying to do here is encourage people to use your phone in a hands-free manner or put it down, one or the other. And that's the purpose of the bill. Questions, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, Senator Newman. And I apologize to the families. Those are very technical things you've had to go through for the last 7 or 8 minutes. But when it gets to its next committee, it'll be much easier to read and make a lot more sense. But that technically is the way we have to do it. So with that, we have a question by Senator Little, Franzen, and Carlson. Senator Little.
Thank you, Chair Jasinski, and thank you, Chair Newman, for bringing this forward. Chair Newman, as you know, I struggle to make friends in the Capitol. And so I want to say this as a preface, which is you've been great on this issue. You've been excellent, and you've heard this bill a number of times, and you've been a supporter. And everybody on this committee has been a strong supporter. But for me personally, I'm suffering from deja vu because I feel like 2 years ago we heard this bill and it was passed unanimously. I believe a year ago, I think we passed this bill and it passed unanimously. We tried to amend it onto a bill on the floor, had huge bipartisan support, and it just seems like every time it disappears. And I just think that's too bad because I think this is the last time you should have to come to our committee and share your story. It's been time. And I just don't think it's that hard. You know, if you need to reroute your GPS, park and reroute. You know, if you don't have Bluetooth, get an earbud. People throw those things away right now. But we need to do everything we can to make this easy to enforce for law enforcement. And I know this has to go through some more iterations, but from my perspective, you know, there's some items in here that will be disputed in court. So I think whatever we can do to make it simple to enforce is good. I support both of these bills, and it's high time. And I agree with my Senate colleagues, Susan Kent, that I know we've got to get it through judiciary, and that's tough, but it's high time. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Little. Just a reminder to members, we're past our deadline here. I know everybody wants to talk about it because it's a great bill, and but we'll just remind the time frame. We're at 12 o'clock now. So, Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, quickly, it would have been a lot easier to have a delete all amendment because it was really hard to follow, but appreciate the changes. The other part, too, a lot of times when we pass these bills, a lot of provisions become stale, you know, the next year or next month, whatever. In terms of technology, you know, we were just chatting that you have your smartphones now on your wrist that you can also look at and have people message you and all that. So I don't know if that's something you're considering to add, but that's a very big distraction. That's the next iteration of technology. Just to keep that in mind, because I think that is certainly, you know, you talked about having a fixed your phone to your car. Well, you don't do that anymore. But to consider whether you want to include that, I don't know that there's going to be opposition for that. I have an app on my phone that when I'm driving, it kicks on. So it tells people, don't, you know, she's driving. Don't, she's not going to respond. So we do that on our own, but certainly want to make sure that you consider whether the phone on your wrist is also part of your discussion. Thank you.
Senator Newman, any response?
Just thank you, Senator Franzen. I think you have very well illustrated the problem. You know, with the new technology, how do we write legislation that takes into consideration that which we don't yet have? And it has proven to be difficult. So thank you, Senator Franzen, for that.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I want to thank Senator Little for his comments that they do reflect a lot of the emotion that we've gone through over the last few years, and I don't want to add to those, but I do have a technical question on your amendment, which I think is just great because we've constantly had changes here, and we had too many double negatives to deal with. We had lots of things that we have gone through over the several years, but on your amendment, you have on the amendment line, 1.13 and 1.14, you strike line 25 and you add in 275, but I think that should be 300. The fine, the $75 is the fee, the uniform fee schedule, and we had bumped the fine to 225, so the total was 300. So, and we put in there 275 as that line 1.14. So I think I could be reading it wrong, but it seems to me that we may have just reduced the fine by $25.
Senator Newman Ms. Stengel.
Senator Oop. Carlson, I hope you're reading it wrong, but we'll have Ms. Stengel help us.
Thank you. Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This language is confusing, and that's part of the reason Judiciary pointed it out and wanted it deleted. So the language now is $225 plus the fine in the Judicial Council's payable schedule. So that the reference to the payable schedule is actually the initial $50 fine. So it's $225 plus $50 equals $275, and on top of that you have the $75 surcharge. So it's a total of $275 plus the $75 surcharge. And you don't have to total the $75 surcharge in here. That's just automatically added.
Okay.
Senator Carlson, that answer your question?
That answers my question. One more thing that...
Senator Carlson.
You know, I really was hoping that Mr. Hausladen would be here to testify because he was the one that was always tasked with reading the list of supporters. And we have... I think we have 20, what is the number now, 21, plus there's one that's missing, and it's the Minnesota Brain Injury Association. So somehow, Senator, I would like to get that into a record that someone linked to the video would be able to know who is supporting this. Who are those 22 agencies and groups that are supporting them? This does not include the State Patrol, the governor, a few others like that. But it does have 22 individual agencies that I hope we could somehow get into the record so that people that are looking at this forever will be able to find out and hear.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Carlson, good point. The 21 or 22 on the list that you are looking at is a coalition of put together by the Trucking Association and the insurance industry, et cetera. but more have been added, and there, we added one or two this morning. So I will get it straightened out. We will have a complete list as the folks that have come forward as supporters.
Okay. We have two senators, Senator Senjum and Senator Dibble, and then I'll turn it back to you for closing comments. Senator Senjum.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, in particular, Senator Newman. This is a yeoman's job, and I just be extremely brief. I had my epiphany moment last August, standing in front of two caskets in Rochester, Minnesota, Rachel Harberts and Emerson Harberts. As I stood there, I knew full well in my heart it's time to do something. Thank you for bringing this forward.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will reserve the bulk of my comments for the floor because I look forward to this bill at long last being passed off the Senate floor. I just want to say a couple of quick things. We've already thanked Senator Carlson for his years of stewardship of this, and thank you, Senator Newman, for carrying it now across the finish line. Few people know that I actually carried these bills a long time ago when it was not in the slightest bit fashionable. So I'm happy to see this day. Actually, Senator Osmick, I carried a version of your idea back in the day. Thought maybe I could sneak it through the back door that way, but even then. I just wanted to reflect. We had heard from my constituent, Ms. Cafferty. I have many, many experiences as a runner, literally dozens of times that I've almost been killed out running in my community from people whipping around corners, not even looking where they're going, with their phone right up on top of their steering wheel. So we have to get a handle on this. I was struck by the statistic in the Star Tribune editorial in favor of this bill, which said that at 55 miles per hour, looking down at a phone for 4.5 seconds, you cover 100 yards. That's like driving 100 yards in your car with your eyes closed. That's jarring and bracing to think about. And then the other thing I just want to say is, you know, probably very few of us are as pure as the driven snow on this subject. Using phones is extremely addictive, very, very tempting. And I think a law like this helps us all to regulate behavior that we aspire to uphold. I remember when we did the seatbelt law, one of our senators talked about how her husband was now going to wear a seatbelt. He wants to, but he just doesn't. Now the law is going to make him do it, and he's going to start wearing a seatbelt. This will help all of us be better about just leaving that phone alone or using it in a way that's a lot safer than we do now. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Senator Newman, closing comments and a motion.
First of all, Ms. Stengel reminded me I had forgotten one amendment. I'm going to at this time, if you look in your packet, it's a real simple amendment. It's the A5. Do they have it in their packets yet? Okay. My apologies. The A5 amendment, you know, to Senator Carlson's comment, you know, we got double negatives and commas in the wrong place. What the A5 amendment does is makes the language at lines 2.12 through 2.14 identical to the language at 2.29 to 2.30. So we are correcting an inconsistency. It's something that was brought to my attention just before we came into the committee. So I'm going to wait to give members an opportunity to look at the amendment. Mr. Chairman,
Senator Newman, we're still waiting on this side of the
desk. Waiting on that side.
Desk.
But the purpose of the A5 is no change other than to make the two portions of the language and two portions of the bill identical rather than slightly different language. That's all we are doing.
Any questions on the A5? Still waiting. Okay. We'll give everybody a minute. Any questions on the A5? Seeing none, we'll make a motion to approve Senator Newman makes a motion to approve the A5 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Newman.
Very briefly, Members, I want to thank you for your comments. I again would reiterate any help that you could provide in helping us come out of this with a good, solid bill. I would sincerely appreciate it. I want to acknowledge Senator Carlson's work over the years on this matter. He has worked on it every year, I think, that I've known him. And so it really is an important bill. I think that we acknowledge that. I am very hopeful that I will next bring this bill up in the Judiciary Committee. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 91, as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Judiciary.
Thank you, Senator Newman. Senator Newman moves the approval of Senate File 91. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Correction. Senator Newman makes a motion to approve the Senate File 91 as amended.
I stated that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Seeing no other business on the agenda, we are hereby adjourned.